War reporting is dangerous. We know that. Last month, the Islamic State, or ISIS, decapitated journalist James Foley, then released a video. After which, one might reasonably ask, is the job of chronicling war worth that risk? For one reporter, the answer is it would be if more people paid attention to it, but they don't, so it's not. Freelancer Tom Peter covered the Middle East and Afghanistan for years. He recently described his disillusionment with the job in an article for The New Republic. It's titled, Why I Decided War Reporting Was No Longer Worth the Risk. Tom Peter, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And did I pretty much get that right, my summation of your answer?
Yeah. I mean, that's more or less it. It's, you know, I guess by way of background, I spent 7 years over there. And you know, during that time, I wouldn't spend a lot of time back in the U.S. So, you know, it was really when I came back for a while and started to talk to people outside my social circles and kind of really get a feel for how they're engaging with the news that I kind of started to have some second thoughts.
Well, tell us more about that. How do you see them? You describe a woman that you met in Naples, Florida. You were visiting someone and how she questioned you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was really the first time I had this kind of experience where, you know, I was, you know, kind of with the family on the holidays and, you know, you get pulled into all these kind of weird social situations. You know, I was kind of talking to this person I'd never met before, and she found out I was a reporter, and the very first question she asked without any hesitation was, oh, so, you know, is your reporting truthful? And you know, it just really took me aback. You know, I mean, I feel like, you know, just on a one level, it's just incredibly rude. You know, if you met a mechanic or a lawyer or something, you wouldn't ask, oh, well, so do you cheat your customers? Or it's rude. But then on kind of a more philosophical level, it really made me think about, okay, you know, who are these people that we're writing for and how are they engaging with the product? And again, I just found myself having these conversations with people where it's not like we're having nuanced discussions about, well, is media balanced? If you're covering Syria, are you just reporting on the opposition or are you giving the government a fair shake? It's things where people will say, oh, the media is not covering this or that topic. And 100% of the time people have told me that the media is covering it and they're just not reading the articles.
Well, or they're not trusting what they read. Tell us more about that, because you point to studies we've actually reported on them, one from the University of Connecticut, that shows that actually the press has been relentlessly even-handed. This was a meta-analysis of reporting. And yet when you poll people, they think the opposite.
You know, the Pew Research Center has done a lot of you know, they've surveyed people since 1985. That's over three quarters of the people think that the media is inaccurate, and you know, a majority of people just simply don't trust it, and more people find the media immoral than they do moral. So when you have this attitude that you believe the media is lying to you, or you believe that all reporting that doesn't agree with what you already believe is inaccurate, you're not doing your job as a citizen. You're kind of shirking your civic duty to be informed.
Well, and you pointed out that this one woman who was questioning you, right there on her coffee table was a New York Times, which hadn't been read.
This was back in 2012 when the opposition was still largely moderate and
in Syria.
You know, we were starting to have a lot
in Syria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were starting to have a lot of questions about kind of who are these opposition folks? Can we support them? And you know, she was asking me that question and saying, oh, the media is not covering this. And, you know, not only had I recently written a story about that, James Foley had, you know, before he was detained, had written a story about that. And then on her very coffee table was a copy of The New York Times that day, which had an incredibly lengthy article dealing with that question of who is this Syrian opposition? I have always assumed that people are kind of indifferent to the foreign news. There's only so much you can pay attention to, and I understand that. But what I don't understand is when people don't engage with a topic, but then develop really strong opinions about it.
Well, let's be clear, because when you're talking about Syria in 2012, again, just to underscore what you're saying, you and reporters like James Foley were meeting the opposition and we're reporting back that this was a nationalist movement. These were people who wanted to overthrow the Assad regime. Since then, of course, it's been taken over by what we're seeing now, ISIS, ISIL. And so you're saying that this woman wasn't hearing you.
Yeah. And, you know, while the opposition was moderate at the time in most regards, we, you know, that's not what everyone was reporting. We're saying, look, there's a lot of questions that we should all be asking about the opposition. And they are increasingly at odds with large portions of the Syrian population. So it wasn't, you know, just blanket cheerleading. We were being critical as well.
So, Tom Peters, you're saying a couple of things about American news consumers. One, they're not consuming the news. They're not paying attention. And they're actually accusing the media of not covering stories that are getting covered. Or they're only seeking out the news reporting that fits a thinking they already have about the news. Either way, you conclude that it's not worth taking the risk given how the news is being received. And you have taken risks. You talk of a time where you were picked up by insurgents in Syria, and it was heart-thumping to read it.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the most terrifying thing that ever happened to me in reporting, where, you know, we were going and visiting an area that had been recently liberated by the opposition or you know, taken by the opposition. And as we were driving back, I was with a group of other reporters and, you know, a car cut us off and masked men jumped out and with guns. And, you know, once they pulled our driver out and drove off with us, you know, it was kind of impossible to escape at the moment. So you kind of have to accept this fate that potentially I'm going to be taken somewhere and executed or held indefinitely. And the level of terror you feel when something like that happens is difficult to describe. That's where I get really frustrated with talking to these news consumers, because I was getting paid between $275 to $400 a day. To take those kinds of risks and for very low pay, it's very frustrating, and it really does raise a lot of questions about why am I doing this thing that doesn't pay well? I could probably, I don't know, go back to law school or something and make a lot more money doing something else.
Well, meanwhile, Jim Foley, you knew him, and you also knew him by, as you say, his reputation, friendly guy who can make people laugh. And you conclude, I wish I could believe that such an extraordinary person died striving to inform an American public yearning to know the truth. It's harder to accept what really happened, which is that he died while people eagerly formed opinions on his profession and the topics he covered without bothering to read the stories he put in front of them. You could say that he may not have had the impact in his life with his reporting, but he sure had an impact in his death. You could say that he's changed the course of this story.
I would hope that if anything comes out of this, that maybe it can be a wake-up call to news consumers that, hey, look, there are people out there taking huge risk and risking it all to bring you the facts. So pay attention, read them, and don't think that there's some giant conspiracy out there. I can assure you that, you know, the vast majority of legitimate journalists really do want to bring you the truth.
That's Tom Peter. The title of his article in the New Republic is Why I Decided War Reporting Was No Longer Worth the Risk. Tom, thank you.
Thank you.